You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're looking ahead to Friday's action on this edition. You'll hear us all live on Racing Radio from 1:50pm. Gordon Brown, Tanya Stevenson and Andy Holding live in the studio. It's Doncaster, Newbury and Lingfield in the afternoon, Newcastle and Dundalk in the evening. And if you tune into Betting TV, you'll be able to see the action live and free from Doncaster, Lingfield and Newcastle as well. So check that out at williamhill.com and on the William Hill app. Right now, we're in the studio looking ahead to Friday. It's myself, Mark Walton, joined by Chris Pimlott. How are you, Pimmy?
Oh, I'm very well indeed, Mark. Very well indeed. Absolutely sick to the back teeth of this weather.
Yeah.
God, it's been bad, hasn't it? Wet, wet and more wet.
Yeah, wet and windy and just generally just miserable, isn't it? It's just horrible.
Difficult.
Yeah, how's that affected your training and the horses? Do the horses suffer in the weather like we do?
Yeah, I think they do a bit. I think they get, like we do, a little bit depressed. I mean, obviously, you've heard that saying, he gets the wind under his tail. When you've had the winds as strong as this, some of them do become very flighty.
Yeah.
You know, and some will often work okay in the wind or work okay in the rain. But again, when you get the combination of the two, they really do, again, want to turn the backsides to it. So it's not an easy time for everybody at the moment. And obviously, everywhere's so wet, the gallops are wet.
Yeah.
It's just making life that bit more difficult. And again, without a lot of frost, which we've had very few this year, we have got a few with coughs and colds.
Right, yeah.
So, yeah, difficult time.
Yeah, it's going to cause havoc with the ground, I suppose, as well, if it carries on like this at Cheltenham. It's already pretty testing underfoot. And I suppose the worry is we could get quite testing conditions throughout the festival. Not, I know by the back end it's usually chewed up a little bit in certain parts, but it's looking like we might even start the week with soft ground.
Yeah, what could well do. I mean, the other thing is, though, at this time of year, the days are getting longer. We're getting daylight till 6 o'clock sort of thing in an evening. It's a bit lighter in the morning, so you're getting a little bit more help from nature. So I think it will be soft, but I'm hoping it doesn't become that wet that it becomes a war of attrition for them all.
Yeah. Well, I hope so. You've cheered me up a bit there. You give me a good reason to think it's going to be all right.
Oh, it'll be fine, buddy. Yeah, keep the faith.
Yes, good. You've ridden at Cheltenham in the past as well, Pim. Did you experience much extremes of ground there? Was it?
No, to be perfectly honest, I rode a horse who had a little bit of a chance. I think it was in the Sun Alliance, called Letock, who'd been a very good horse for the Dickinsons. And I think it rained quite heavily overnight, and it just lost his chance. He wanted really good ground, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And it went to the easy side and it just hindered his chances. I think he finished fourth, and I think it was an absolute blinder of a race. I can't remember exactly what they were, but the likes of West Tip and such like were in front of him. So it was a very, very strong renewal. But no, I didn't ride there too many times.
We got a very strong renewal of the Champion Chase this year as well, Pimmy, and the weather could have an impact on that, because if it's decent enough ground, I hope we see the best of Altior. He's the favourite at 2-1 trying to defend his crown. Defi de Soy 9-4 and Chacun Pour Soir 5-2 at the time recording this. It's surrounding those three really in the betting. It's 12-1 bar those. I think Defi and Chacun Pour Soir might be suited a little bit better by testing conditions. But I want to talk about Altior in the respect that he's finished second in one race in the past 2 years, and people are saying, he's vulnerable. And he's not, you know, he's the best 2 miler we've seen for an awful long time. And I think 2-1 about him in a Champion Chase is very tempting.
Yeah, I think the thing that we've got to take into consideration, he's now getting a little bit longer in the tooth. He's 10.
Yeah, I suppose, yeah.
And, you know, that just might have blunted his speed a little bit. I mean, we've seen in the past, he does seem to hit a little flat spot now and again.
Yeah.
But again, he's got that hill to run up against. Obviously, Devi de Soul's a lovely horse. He's a younger model. He's only 7. On official ratings, he's quite a bit to find. 175 plays 166. So, you know, you'd imagine that that's that fair bit of improvement to come with him if Altior turns up off his mark of 175. So, you know, he's interesting. As I say, he's been very, very impressive so far this season. And again, he comes from a yard that has knows how to have festival winners, and obviously those McManus colours not disfamiliar with that winner's circle at Prestbury Park. So again, big race expected there, and obviously the William Mullins horse, he's definitely going to be a player. I'll let you say his name.
Yeah, Chacun Pourceaux,
that's the one. Yeah. Been in great form of late, was a real readied winner at Leopardstown back there at the Dublin Festival early in February, and again he comes there with a he's coming there as a new kid on the block, as somebody coming trying to dethrone the champion. But again, I feel that maybe this won't be his year. He's 8 now, so he's still got a little bit of time ahead of him. But I'm hoping that the roof is lifted off when Altia goes up that Cheltenham Hill in front.
Yeah, it's always great when these winners come back and defend their crowns, isn't it?
Well, that's what national racing's all about.
It is, isn't it? Absolutely. Yeah. If Altior goes and wins, there'll be loads of people happy to see that. And then you've got Fahin later on in the week. If he wins, the roof will come off the place. And
yeah.
It's just what makes Cheltenham great, isn't it? That's what makes Cheltenham great.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Having these wonderful horses that we can hopefully see year in, year out. But they are fragile. They are equine athletes that do take a bit of minding.
We'll obviously have more of a look at the Cheltenham Festival as the days and weeks progress. We are getting closer, of course. But let's focus on matters a little bit closer to hand. We've got some good racing coming up this Saturday at Newbury and Doncaster, two of the races. We're going to look at our two big chases. The 3.15 is the William Hill Supporting Greatwood Gold Cup. It's a handicap chase, a Grade 3 handicap chase over 2.5 miles. Monday's Avalois, the favourite at the moment, at 13-2. Secret Investor is 7-1, 15-2 Clondor Castle. San Benedetto is 15-2, 8-1 Benny's King. Domaine Delisle is 10-1, along with Drumcliff and Henri Chisson, and 12-1 are bigger prices. For the rest, it's as open as you would expect, Pimmy. 13-2 the fields.
Yeah.
Would you like in that?
Well, I think the great thing is at that price, we can have a little bit of each way.
Absolutely.
For everything.
Yeah.
And again, it needs to be priced up something like that, because it's a very, very competitive chase, as you'd imagine, for this good price. I thought Clondor Castle was interesting. He was a nice winner at Warwick on the 8th of February when he beat 2 Tafts by 4.25 lengths. I thought that was a very, very good performance by him. He's still knocking on that official rating of about 144, 143. So I think because of that, he's got to come into the equation with a big, big chance. I thought Domaine Delisle disappointed last time out. He's currently a 10-1 shot for Sean Curran and Gavin Sheehan. But prior to that, he'd been in absolute rampant form. He's obviously shot up the weights from a mark of 120 back in December of 2019 up to a mark of 146 now. So
yeah,
possibly could well be in the grips of the handicapper. And the other one I thought could be interesting was Drumcliff, who comes to the well this time with a win job for the first time and a tongue tie.
Yep.
He's a 10-1 shot at this moment in time. And you definitely think that he might come into the equation. But I think you can tread carefully. You can back each way. And there's some bigger and better prices that might take your fancy, such as Not Another Muddle, who, again, has been in reasonable form of late and ran well enough behind Remain de Semaine last time out. So, yeah, there's plenty in there with a chance. If you nail me down to two, I'm going to go Clondor Castle and Drumcliff.
Clondor Castle 15-2, Drumcliff 10-1 at the time of recording this, and good news there as well. A fifth of the odds, 1, 2, 3, and 4. There's only 13 runners, but here at William Hill, we're paying 4 places each way, so an extra place to aim at as well. 3:35 Doncaster is another big race on Saturday. It's the Grimthorpe Handicap Chase, 3.25 miles in front of them. Always a nice competitive contest, and this year we've got 23 runners heading to post. Worthy Farm 11-2, Boldmere 7-1, 8-1 Captain Chaos, Clondor Anchor is 8-1, definitely Red 8-1, Yaltari is 8s as well, along with Chidswell at 9s with Secret Investor, and 10-1 or bigger prices for the remainder. Now this is wide open, Pimmy. Give us a clue.
This is a proper race. Absolute yeah. Proper race this is.
It's always a good race.
Really interesting, yeah. 23 runners, you say?
Yeah.
I personally couldn't have definitely Red in this race. I feel he's a horse that fares better in small fields and possibly better races, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So I couldn't have him at any price, and I certainly couldn't have him at any price for the Grand National, simply because of the big fields. I'm not sure he feels comfortable with that. So I definitely put a line through him. I thought Captain Chaos was interesting from the Dan Skelton yard. He ran well enough in defeat behind Kilbertle Light Candy at Warwick. That was back on the 11th of January. Racing off a mark of 134 there. He's raced off a bit better marks than that in the past, but not on a great deal. The other one I thought was interesting, he's just lost the plot a little bit of late, is Beware the Bear.
Yeah.
He was a winner at the Cheltenham Festival back there in March. And again, that was a cracking race when he won off a mark of 151. He went up to 160 because of that. And again, disappointing when he was pulled up behind Talkies Cheap. And then so far this season, not really fired on any cylinders. He disappointed on both occasions, to be fair, when we've seen him out this season. But he has just relented a little bit, the handicapper. He's down to a mark of 155 now from 160. So he just might be able to come back and put his best foot forward. And again, looking at him, you know, you're going to get a little bit of value for money at around 10-1. So he could well be a player as well.
I like the angle with Beware the Bear. Like you said, a festival winner. The runner... Newbury in what used to be the Hennessy, where he finished fourth. He was only beaten 2.25 lengths, and this arguably isn't as tough as a Hennessy.
No, certainly not. So he's definitely a player. And the other one I thought looked interesting is the Glittering Love of Nicky Richards. I thought he could well be a player as well.
Yeah, he's 12-1 in the market, Glittering Love.
Yeah, I think he could be well be a player. He ran plenty well enough at Newcastle when he was third of 10 behind Fortified Boy. And I think there could be a little bit more to come from him.
Okay. If we narrow it down to a selection or two, what do you go with? Beware the Bear in there?
I'd go Beware the Bear and the Nicky Richards run.
Yeah, those two, yeah.
Yeah.
10s and 12s.
Glittering Love.
Yeah. 10s and 12s respectively in the market there for a nice competitive contest at Doncaster at the weekend. Let's move on to the action coming up on Friday. That's why we're here. Pimmy's got
You could have fooled me. It's got to be one of the longest podcasts in history.
Yeah, well, we like to have a chat, don't we?
Well, we do.
I haven't seen you for a while, Pimmy.
Well, that's right.
We'd just make it up for lost time.
All we could do is a little glass of wine now and a few nibbles and we'd be away, buddy.
It'd be lovely, wouldn't it?
It would.
3:05 Doncaster on Friday, 2 miles and 3 furlongs in front of them for a handicap chase. It's a Northern Lights Middle Distance Series qualifier. We've got a field of 11 going to post for this. 9-2 joint favourites at the moment at the time of recording this as well. Imada and Ramanex. 5-1 for Native Robin. 2-2-3 is 13-2, all the numbers. Number nine, Gran Torino is 7-1. It's 7-1 for well above par. The Forgotten One is 8-1 with Manuel and 14s or bigger for the remainder. Again, we've given you a fairly open contest to dissect for us.
Well, good race. Yeah. I think Imada's interesting. Brian Hughes again had his 4-day ban reduced to 2 days today, so that gives him a little bit more chance to fight for that Jockey's Championship. But again, great to see Dickie Johnson first ride back, and he was absolutely outstanding.
Brilliant on it.
Absolutely brilliant. A wonderful way to come back after such a short break with such a bad injury.
Tell me about it. What was it, 30 some of the days with a broken arm?
Yeah, some fella, isn't he? Tough as old boots, he is.
Yeah.
So, that's going to hopefully keep the national hunt season going for us as well.
Yep.
With that Jockey's Championship. So, Imada, very interesting, fairly unexposed. I know he's only 10, but he hasn't had an awful lot of racing. Race off a mark of 120 tomorrow afternoon. Definitely feel that he's got to be a major player there. And I thought Ramanex was interesting. Had a bit long break, but again, ran really well in defeat when finishing second last time out. And again, he's been eased £3 by the handicapper, so he could well come into the equation there. And the other horse that I like, and he's not to particularly good at getting his head in front, but he always seems to run a good race, and that's Manuel. And he's from a very talented yard, that of Sam England. I think she's a very, very capable trainer, Sam Drake, should I say. But she's ridden by Jonathan England, and I definitely think that this could well be an opportunity for that one. What price is Manuel? Is a big price?
Yeah, well, 8-1, so big enough.
8-1, so yeah, you know, 11 of us are going to post, then you definitely have a little bit of him each way, because he always does seem to run well without possibly getting his head past that line in front.
Manuel then could be an each-way angle in the 3:05 at Doncaster. And finally, we look at the 4:20 at Newbury, a handicap hurdle for runners rated 0-120, 3 miles in front of them, a field of 13 in this one. Pimmy, what's caught your eye there?
Oh, this is a fairly tricky race, I thought. I thought Mr. Merkham is obviously interesting, finished very well indeed last time we saw him at Huntingdon. And again, it was a good running defeat for him that time. He's been in good form as well so far this season for Richard Rowe, so definitely feel that he would come into the equation tomorrow afternoon. And I think the other horse that I thought could well run a big race, despite him, he was a faller last time out, to be fair, Rocco with Love, that was at Catterick. Providing that little fall hasn't done his confidence too much harm, he could well come back and be a big player tomorrow afternoon. And Richard Johnson gets the leg up, and if he's in the same frame of mind tomorrow, Johnson, as he was today, then Rocco with Love will lack nothing from the saddle.
Is that the pick then? You go with,
sure is,
signing with the champ, and Rocco with Love then in that 4:20 at Newbury. Thanks for all that, Pimmy. Sent you through a lot there, but
my pleasure.
You passed with flying colours.
Well, that's good. That's good. Nice to know. Enjoy. Can't wait to be back.
Yeah, you going out to Cheltenham? Are you going racing anytime soon?
Well, fingers crossed. We're going to go to Cheltenham.
Yeah,
yeah. But it's two weeks tomorrow for Gold Cup Day, isn't it?
Yep.
So that's when the Fox Hunters is as well. So yeah, fingers crossed. We might just get there for a day.
Nice, nice. Thank you very much, Pimmy. Enjoy it this week.
My pleasure.
That's the thoughts of Chris Pimlott then on the action coming up this weekend, starting with some very good cards on Friday. We've got action at Newbury and Doncaster throughout Friday and Saturday, and you'll be able to hear that along with the rest of the day's racing on William Hill Racing Radio. It's a 1:50 start time. Gordon Brown, Tanya Stevenson and Andy holding the team in the studio for Doncaster, Newbury and Lingfield in the afternoon, Newcastle and Dundalk in the evening. And just a reminder as well, Doncaster, Lingfield and Newcastle available to watch live and free on Betting TV. Check that out at williamhill.com and on the William Hill app.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.